It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16, and we're beginning to read with the third verse. We may even back up and begin with the first verse. We're that close to the beginning of the chapter. Exodus chapter 16, we will begin with verse 1. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit us at our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bible so that we can begin the study and enjoy it today. So please follow along if you can, if you're traveling or if you're at work or something like that and you don't have the opportunity to read it or to follow along with me, I will be reading it for you. And so Exodus chapter 16, verse 1, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died in the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill this holy assembly with hunger. And then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. In the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come nearer before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that laid was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered so more, some less, some more and some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seeth that ye will seeth. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, and as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. The Lord said unto Moses, How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like a corner seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. We're going to end with that verse 31, and we're going to begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come today to read your word, to enjoy it. Oh, there's much to learn today as each day that we come together. I thank you, Father, for all the folks that you have brought together to listen to this program. I ask that you will continue to use your word to touch our hearts with your word. Please today that it be no different, that folks that do not know you as their Lord and Savior will come today and be saved. Folks that do know you as their Lord and Savior, that they will grow in you today. We need to understand, dear Father, that there is only one way of salvation, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. There's those steps, those two things that our lives, and the only way we can do that, only way that our heart and our mind can do things, our mouth can say things, but it's our heart is the concern, our soul, and only the soul can be touched by the Holy Spirit. So today, dear Father, let your Spirit touch the hearts of the lost, that they know they're lost, and they recognize they need a Savior, and that is you, Lord Jesus. Please, today that come, and then just begin the wonderful opportunities of growth that we need each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we look at this these verses of Scripture, and we've talked about the murmuring. You know, they're so quick to murmur, and we find that the murmuring here is not only, it begins, and of course Moses and Aaron are the spokespersons for God. And so I suppose that they're the most common. You know, people in leadership are the ones that they begin to complain about. And here, why the complaint was not, should not have been directed to Aaron and to Moses, the complaint should be directly to God, because He has brought them out of the land of Egypt, and it shouldn't be the murmuring and complaining at all. It should be in praise and in dependence. It says, God, you have shown us your power. You've taken us out of Egypt. We've escaped the Egyptians and Pharaoh. We've watched your power, your miraculous power, separate the Red Sea so we could walk across on dry ground. We watched you destroy the Egyptians and Pharaoh himself. And now here we are, and we're in this wilderness, and we know that you're going to take care of us. We don't know how. We haven't come with provisions for this kind of trip, and so you need to take care of us, and we're going to depend on you. Oh, what a people, what a praise that would have been if that would have taken place. But instead of that, they immediately turned and says, hey, I remember that great food we had back in Egypt, that easy life we had back in Egypt. Moses, why didn't you just leave us there? You know, did the Lord bring us out here just to have us starve to death? Oh, and you know, don't get on these people too hard, because what you're going to find is that you and I are just like that. Instead of us praising God, depending upon God, walking with God, instead of that, what we do is we sit down and we begin to murmur and to complain. And instead of going right to God and says, God, please, I need this answered. I need your help here. What happens, and it happens often, it happens quickly, the murmuring and complaining begin to go at the leadership. It may be the leadership's problem. I don't know. But I do know that your God, if you're a born-again believer, can give you leadership, give you answers, and take care of it. But what happens most of the time, people don't go to the Lord in prayer. They don't go to the Word of God seeking His will. They begin to murmur. And murmuring is nothing more than just backbiting and gossip. That's all it is. And they begin to talk to each other and complain to each other. And then it just continues to escalate, just continues to get to be a bigger and a bigger deal. And that's what happened here. That's what happens in our lives. That's what destroys most churches, is that murmuring. If everyone that was involved in that would go to their prayer closet, go in there seeking the will of God, looking to His Word, searching His Word, God would give all involved wisdom. The deal would be taken care of, whatever it is, and everyone would be one step or sometimes many steps closer to the Lord by doing that. Right here, their memory isn't very good, because the food wasn't very good in Egypt. The work was pathetic because they were slaves. That's all they were. And when God began to move to deliver them out, if you'll remember, they took the straw away. So we've lost that. And now we come, and so that they're murmuring, they're complaining. You know, we just ate so much in Egypt. It was such a good life. These people have only been gone a few months, and now they've already forgotten. And that's what happens to us when we are born again. We begin to grow, begin to walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. But it's not long that then things aren't quite the way we think they should be. So we begin to complain and murmur instead of looking around and realizing how wonderful our God is, how many miracles that He has performed, and how thankful we should be for what we have. And then begin to these leaders that you're complaining about, murmuring about, gossiping about, you begin to pray for them and lift them up. Because, my friend, they're carrying quite a burden. They have the responsibility of you and of every person that's in that church, that's attending that church, they're responsible for. And you think about that responsibility. Maybe they're not doing their job the way you think it should be done. Maybe they're not doing the job the way they should be doing it. I don't know. But I do know the way to answer it, and that's go to the Lord and ask Him to strengthen you and give you wisdom that you may lift that brother up and help. Restore him if necessary, or just a matter of taking care of getting your heart right. Sometimes it's not the preacher or the leadership of the church at all. Sometimes there's folks in the leadership of the church that are novice and they shouldn't even be in that place or position, but they are. And so we need to be careful when people are placed into positions of power and authority in anything, but particularly in the church. And so here we have the man God has chosen, Moses. Moses, in turn, decided that he was just too weak. He wasn't a spokesman. He couldn't do this. Yes, he could. God would have given him every word and every strength, but he got Aaron involved. Well, we're going to find pretty shortly that that was a problem. And any time that we don't do what God calls us to do and we complain, God still continues, but he may have to use somebody else to get it accomplished. It may be in connection with us. It may be leaving us completely out because we've ignored what he wants us to do. But either way, the work gets done. And the Lord here has a work to do, and that's to deliver the nation of Israel to the promised land. And so here, and that's God's word, God's promise. Now what we find, and I've circled this because I want you to see what these words mean. We have just left the land of Egypt, Red Sea. The people are beginning to complain. They have forgotten how awful it was in olden days. We do the same thing. We forget how bad we were, how awful our sin was, and how great it was when our sins were forgiven, and the wonderful life that God has set us set before us. Well, these people, they forgot just like that. You're just going to let us starve to death. Now, look at verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you and for the people, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Now, I've circled that, and you may not understand why I've circled that, and I hope that I can show you why I've circled it, and I hope that when we finish this study, you will circle it as well. And the critical part here at the very end is, this is a test. I am going to take care of you every day. Now, remember something that they have. They're not out there just with Moses and Aaron leading them. They have the cloud. They have the Shekinah glory cloud. And this cloud is before them every inch of the way. The only time that it has gone from before them is it moved over the top of them, came back between them. And to the nation of Israel, it was light. To the Egyptians and Pharaoh, it was darkness. It was judgment. And so you see that Shekinah glory cloud, but it's not long now. They get used to the presence of God, to where they forget. They take advantage, and don't we do the same thing? Salvation has come into our heart. The Holy Spirit came in to live within our soul. And so quickly, we forget that great work that he has done, God's presence in our life, giving us wisdom and direction and strength and power. But so quickly, we forget. So the nation of Israel, even though that cloud was present, they forgot. And they begin here to murmur. Well, now we find that not only that, but God says, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather. Now, you know, today it has never changed. In any kind of welfare program that we have, it better include work. There is nothing wrong with helping someone so that they can eat and so that they can live in a home or a place, a dwelling to live. We need that. But the only way that can be gained is by work. Never, ever has any social program ever worked when you handed somebody money or you handed them a place to live and they were not responsible for it. It was just given to them. You know, we have a society today that believes that, and a government today that believes that we are not smart enough to take care of ourselves. We need their direction. Well, I'm smart enough to take care of myself, and so are you. We need to take that leadership and take that authority, and are we going to make mistakes? Sure we are, but it's our responsibility. Well, so is it our responsibility to see that those that are in need are taken care of. And so we have kind of turned that over to the government, and we have turned that over with our tax money and says, here, you take care of it. We should be taking care of that, but not in the same fashion that the government takes care of it. We should be taking care of it when it's a need indeed. A need indeed. And if an individual is capable of working, we need to find them work. And if they says, well, I can't do that, that's below me, then they don't eat. It's just that simple. I'll find you work, and you work, and I will give you food. I will give you money for working so that you can buy food, so that you can care for your family, so that you can have a place to live in. But don't expect me to hand anything to you. God never has done that. God never has taught that in His Word. Now, there are people that cannot work, that cannot do it. That's a different situation. But the bulk, the multitudes of people that can work, that don't, should this very day be starving to death. Find work. And we need to be responsible if we have something. Someone comes and says, give me work so I can feed my family. That's different. Today, people come by, and they come by the church, and they want a handout. I need $100 to fix my car. I need $100 so I can pay my utility bill. And you ask, are you working? Are you looking for work? Well, there just isn't work out there. Yes, there is. Maybe it isn't something that you're looking for, but it's work. Maybe it's not going to pay as much as you think you're worth, but it's going to pay something. And God is going to honor that. He does not honor when you sit there and beg for handouts. We learned that very early on. Look right here. God supplied every day manna, food from heaven. He supplied it every day. But did He just bring it down so that people opened their mouths and it dropped into their mouth, or opened their hand and it dropped into their hand? No, it didn't. They had to go harvest it every day, 6 days a week. And then on the sixth day, they had double portion to do for the seventh day. But as we look at this here, they went out. And look at this. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. All right, that's a promise from God. And the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Now, the purpose of this is to learn, are they going to depend each day upon the Lord? Each day they're to gather what they need for that day and that day only. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You do not collect for tomorrow, and again, except for the exception of the seventh day. They were not to gather on the seventh day. On the sixth day, they were to gather twice as much, and it would keep for the seventh day. The question is here, are you going to listen to me? Are you going to follow me? That's the question. That's the question here. That I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or my way, my will or no. That's the question. And here's the directions. It shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. They're given this definite direction. On the sixth day. Now, isn't it something, Hal? Notice what we don't have. We don't have the law. We don't have the Ten Commandments. We don't have the Levitical law. They're not to Mount Sinai yet. They're close, but they're not to Mount Sinai yet. Moses hasn't went up on the mount and got the Ten Commandments. And yet, what are we talking about here? We're using words like the Sabbath. We're using words like 6 days and the seventh day you shall rest. You know, people today think that was the law. God put this into place undoubtedly back in Egypt, because there is no discussion here. Moses is not explaining to these people the seventh day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And this just doesn't go back to Moses. This goes back to Abraham. And I think it goes beyond Abraham. I think it goes back in the days of Noah. I think it started back in the days with Adam and Eve. They were told of the Sabbath, the day of the Lord, the Sabbath day. And so now that's, don't get confused, because that's not Sunday. Sunday is, and this is beginning, and again, we don't know how far back it goes, probably with Abraham. It could have went back further than that, but this promise is with the land and the people of Israel. And so the law today, for us to abide by the law, and you know, people today that believe that you need to worship on Saturday, which is fine, that doesn't matter. We worship on Sunday because it's the first day of the week. It's the day the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And so we come together to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we've taken Sunday, the first day of the week, and rest on the first day of the week. Now, with Israel, with the Jews, they are bound by the law at this time, and the law isn't even in place, but God's beginning to put some things in place. Did it start with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Did it start back when Moses, was that some wisdom that Moses gave? He began to teach them about the Sabbath day, the day that they were supposed to rest. And it's different than our Sunday, because if you believe in the Sabbath, then you better do nothing. There is no servile labor on the Sabbath day, none. They didn't even go out and collect their food, harvest their food on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. They went only on the 6 days, Sunday through Friday. And then on the seventh day, they were to rest. And they were to not go after even this food. Now today, you see even people that do worship on Saturday, they'll do this, they'll do that, they'll go out for dinner, they'll go to church. You know, if they go to church on Saturday, what about the preacher? Isn't the preacher working? There was no place in the Word of God that there was set up by God to come to worship on. It was a place for the family, and it was a day of meditation. It was a day for the Father to teach, to learn. And it begins here by God showing them, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you 6 days the portion. But on that sixth day, I'm going to give you a second portion. And on that day, I want you, on the sixth day, to gather twice as much. Now, are you going to listen to me? And that's what that fourth verse says. Are you going to listen to me? And then, and it shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. The purpose of this continual, you wouldn't think they'd need a reminder, but they do. You wouldn't think we'd need a reminder that we're born again, that Jesus Christ saved our soul, he took our sins away, but we do. They need to be a reminder of the bondage of Egypt. In the morning, then, ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, what are we that ye murmur against us? So that was the question. And you know, many times today, when the preacher preaches and you don't like it, it's not against the man of God, the preacher that's preaching. It's against God, because you don't like what God's telling you through his Spirit. So please, that you listen carefully. Listen prayerfully. As the Word of God is taught, is preached. Let's look to see, are you following the Word of God, or are you following man? And because either the Word of God through the Spirit of God is teaching you the truth and you don't like it, or the preacher's preaching the truth and you don't like it, so you begin to murmur. Well, let's not be as these people. Let's don't be murmurers. Let's sit down and look to the Word of God. Ask God to guide and lead us. Show us his will, show us his way, strengthen us each and every day. The way that's going to come, the question is, will you walk in his way? walk in His Word. Walk in His doctrines. That's what He wants us to do, and that's what He's asking these people here. Oh, my dear friend, we didn't get far, but it sure is a wonderful study, and we're going to begin probably even with the fourth verse just for a few minutes and then go right on and look to see where these people listened. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?